بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما recite the sharif اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد This is session number 8 in our series Spiritual Warfare, the daily battle with Shaitan. The first 7 nights of Ramadan, we had the first 7 sessions, then we had a break in between. And now inshallah we'll continue our 14 part series with the second part of the remaining 7 parts, inshallah, over the next 7 nights until the end of Ramadan. And the purpose of these sessions is for us to learn the tricks of shaitan, how shaitan deceives us, and to become aware. How can we become aware? And Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah gave a very beautiful analogy. He said the heart is like a fortress, a castle. And there are many gates, pathways that are leading to the heart. And shaitan wants to control the heart fully. It's our job to realize and recognize and become aware of what these openings, these gates are, and to guard them. So to guard these gates is mandatory, to guard the castle, to the fortress. Now, in order to be able to guard the gates, we have to know what the gates are. Imam Al-Ghazali says, to protect the castle is mandatory. We cannot protect the castle without protecting the gates. Without protecting the gates, your heart is not protected. So, to protect the heart is mandatory. It's an obligation. So, in order to do that, we have to protect the gates. To protect the gates is an obligation. Now, we can only protect the gates if we know what the gates are. Imam Al-Ghazali says, therefore, it is an obligation upon every Muslim to know these pathways of shaitan, where shaitan exploits us, how he exploits us. Because if we don't know, alhamdulillah, we're all on a path to betterment. We are all walking on this path to become more righteous, to become better Muslims. In this path, we are going to face obstacles. Shaitan is going to come from different angles, and we have to understand and be 10 steps ahead of him. Alhamdulillah, we've discussed over 7 sessions many different pathways, and we've been discussing 2 different ways shaitan attacks us. Who can remind us? What are the 2 examples we gave? He has, what does he have? Nets and arrows. Very good, mashallah. Listening very well and enjoying your treat as well. You have another one, you deserve it. There, he actually does as well. So he's got nets and he's got arrows. And we said we're going to speak about 2 different things. We're going to speak about the gates, right? Major gates that lead to the heart. And normally these gates are natural things that we do as human beings, weaknesses we have, and shaitan exploits them. So we just need to be extra aware. The things that we naturally experience. Because we're weak as human beings, shaitan exploits them. And I think we've covered how many? About 8 of them, I think. Is that right, altogether? Those of you taking notes? 8 of them? Shall we quickly remind everybody what they are? Because I've forgotten them. It's been 2 weeks. Quickly. The first one, I remember the first one. Indulging in the permissible. Those things which are allowed, it's fine to do them. But when we overindulge in them, this is something shaitan can exploit. And we went into detail. By the way, in the playlist on our YouTube channel, you'll find all of the previous sessions for those of you who haven't been here for the first 7 sessions. What was number 2? Seeking others' approval. Right? Seeking the approval of other people. Number 3? Come on, guys. Jealousy came later on. Anger, I think, came later on as well. Fear? Was that right? Yeah, fear. So fear is something shaitan really exploits. Fear is something naturally we have, but it makes you scared of everything. Again, there's a lot of detail. We're not going into any of that. Number 4? Upgrade mindset. This was an important one. Upgrade mindset. Always wanting to upgrade to the next thing, to the next trend, to the next gadget. Again, there's nothing wrong with it. But when this overtakes you, what happens? Will you ever be appreciative of what you have? No. Always looking to get the new thing, the latest thing. Again, it's not wrong to have nice things. But if this is constantly there, we will never have contentment. And Shaitan's underlying tool, every tool we speak about, the underlying tool which Quran speaks about is to make you ungrateful. That's what he... وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. This is what he said. That he wants to make you ungrateful. So when he achieves that, and Imam Ghazali said, once Shaitan comes to you with upgrade mindset, he never needs to come to you ever again. That's it. Just one visit is enough. Once he's pushed you into an arena of always wanting to upgrade, Shaitan doesn't need a second or a third or a fourth visit. That will take care of itself. Always wanting the next thing, and not being content with what you've got. Then number five, anger. There's a lot of detail to that. Number six, shahawat, desires. And number seven, jealousy. We went into a lot of detail there. And eight, having bad assumptions about other people. Isn't that the last thing we spoke about? So again, there's a lot of detail in there. And I'm hoping, I certainly found the sessions beneficial. It's an eye-opener. We don't usually see things like that. We were at the airport just yesterday, coming back from Umrah, and one of the brothers from up north says, I've been following the sessions. And he said, particularly one of them, he goes, I just never thought of that. I found it very eye-opening. And for me, it was a life-changer, because now I see things in a different way. So it's us, about us becoming aware. This is session number eight, and we are going to now discuss another trick of Shaitan. And so we're not going to speak about one of the gates. We're going to speak about one of the tricks today. And this is like a trick within a trick. So it might be like two or three tricks put together. Now, if you remember, one of the things Shaitan loves to see is to see you sad. Shaitan loves to see you sad. This is from the Quran. إِنَّمَا النَّجْوَى مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. These whispers that Shaitan does, these wasawis that he gives to you, and the tricks and the deception that he has, the main purpose is to make you sad. So Shaitan loves it. He loves to make you sad. Now, when you become sad, automatically you start becoming ungrateful as well. So, sadness is what he wants to see in you. When you're sad, he's happy. When you're happy, he's sad. That's how it works, right? So, he wants to see you sad. That leads to being ungrateful. And they go both hand in hand. When you're ungrateful, you're normally sad as well. It goes hand in hand. When you're ungrateful, you're sad. When you're grateful, you're seldom sad. Even if you're in a difficult situation, you're hurting, you're in pain, you're going through grief, but you're grateful to Allah. You're not sad. There's sadness there because of what's happened or what you're experiencing or the pain that you have, but you're not sad. You're content inside. You're grateful. And it's something very, very powerful. And the easiest way, we said, to counter this is to continue remembering your blessings. And that's not a difficult thing to do. To remember your blessings. To remember your blessings. To mention your blessings. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Say them. Think about them to yourself. Mention them to the people that are close to you and that care about you. And even in dua. And I know this is the month of dua. And I'm going to stress upon this. And we've spoken about this many times. Our dua should not only contain things that we are asking Allah for. We should ask Allah for everything. We should make dua. The Sahaba would make dua for a shoelace. So nothing is small. Make dua. There are many things we've not reached out to Allah for. So we should be reaching out to Allah for everything. Literally everything. At the same time, our dua should not only contain questioning Allah for things. Right? There should be in our dua a portion all the time in which we are showing Allah that we want what we already have. This is a concept, wanting what you already have. If we only had the things we asked Allah for, 99.9% of the things we wouldn't have today that we've got. Imagine tomorrow you woke up with only the things you asked Allah for in your dua. Can you see that already puts things in perspective? Like, most of what we got, we didn't even ask for. And then here's me thinking, I don't have anything. I'm not blessed. I'm a loser. I'm deprived. Can you see what that does? It makes you miserable. Shaitan loves that. He exploits that. And this keeps coming to us. We have to keep on remembering our blessings. Keep on counting our blessings. Keep on thanking Allah and acknowledging what we have. So in our dua, there must be a part where we are just acknowledging, oh Allah, you've given me iman. You made me a Muslim. You made me a human being. Alhamdulillah. Allahumma rabbana wa laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. You gave me eyes to see. You've given me a house to live in. I've got food to eat. Got clothes to wear. I've got a family. Those of you who are married, you're married. You've got children, right? You've got good health. You can walk. You can pass urine easily without any pain or difficulty. You can get a good night's sleep. Like, where do we stop? We can carry on and on. The ability to speak, okay? The ability to hear, the ability to digest food without any difficulty. We can continue speaking, right? We've got a masjid, mashallah. Look at the people of Gaza, right? More than 1,000 masjids totally destroyed and annihilated. And despite that, they're still praying. And we come to the masjid and we complain, oh, it's too hot or it's too cold or this, no, windows are open or there's too much this, there's too much that. We've got so much. Look at the facilities that we have, right? The facilitation of, mashallah, the qira'at that you're hearing now, mashallah, right? This is a great blessing in itself. We should be appreciative of whoever is behind. Like, they must have some kind of, these people must be well wishes for you and the whole community, right? This is not easy. Putting together a great lineup of people to come and recite, right, so that you enjoy your taraweeh and your qiyamul layl. It's a blessing in itself. Do you recognize this as a blessing? You speak to your relatives and your friends, they'll tell you they're not as fortunate as you. They don't have this opportunity. Alhamdulillah, food is provided here. I'm just talking about locally here in our masjid. I mean, we can go on and on and on. There must be an element of being grateful to Allah in our dua. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Alhamdulillah is the best dua. Wa khayru du'a'i Alhamdulillah. Many poets would go into the court of the kings and they would stand there and sing poetry in praise of the king. And the king would shower them with gifts. They didn't ask for anything. Some of you might be thinking, if in my dua I'm just praising Allah, what's he going to give me? No. This is an element that's missing in our du'as. When we're in the Haramain now, and there was witr, and the dua was being made, especially in Medina, I remember. One of the things I picked up on was that we don't praise Allah a lot. We don't praise Allah enough. And a lot of the dua was full of just praising Allah in so many different ways. And it connects you to Allah in a different way. Because your understanding, you know, that actually shows you that you know who Allah is. You actually know who Allah is. Or it makes you know Allah better. May Allah give us the tawfiq. So we don't want to get sidetracked. So let's get straight into today's topic, inshallah. As a Muslim, there's two things that we have. Our belief and our actions. Iman and amal al-salih. There are two things that we have as a Muslim. Shaitan is always after both of these things. Sometimes shaitan is attacking your belief in Allah. Sometimes shaitan is attacking your actions. Sometimes shaitan is attacking both of them at the same time. When shaitan is attacking your belief, maybe it's making you question the existence of Allah. Maybe it's making you question the decisions of Allah. Maybe it's making you question the timing of Allah. Maybe it's making you question the reasoning of Allah. Maybe it's making you question the distribution of Allah. Can you see? These are all different things to do with your belief. Why did Allah give it to him and not me? Why did this happen to me and not them? Okay, or why did it happen now? Why couldn't it happen yesterday? All of this, shaitan, when he attacks your belief, this is what he's attacking. And then sometimes, and this is why the Quran is beautiful, because the Quran is full of ayat, which shows you the existence of Allah, the reasoning of Allah, the wisdom of Allah, the power of Allah, the knowledge of Allah. Again and again, we are reminded. That's why the Quran is called a dhikr, a reminder. And that's why the Quran is not just for, like, oh, I've read it once before already. No. It's a reminder. We need it. Not just for reward. Like, you might say, I can do something else to get reward. The Quran is actually something we need. So one of the needs we need it is as a reminder. Because we go through different things all the time. Our iman is being attacked again and again. You don't know which ayah you're in need of. Allah's given you the answer already in the Quran. This is why we have to go through and keep reading and keep listening to the Quran. So that we can get that ayah and apply it to our lives at that time. So number one, shaitan sometimes attacks your belief. Number two, shaitan sometimes attacks your actions. The most common way would be if he was to sprinkle an element of riya, showing off. You've done a good action, you managed to do it, but then there's an element of you doing it for somebody else. Shaitan might just whisper into you an idea that you're a great person. People think you're cool. People think you're a big worshipper. People think you're very pious. Look, they're watching you right now. Why don't you make your sajda a bit longer? Okay, take out your tasbih so everybody sees it. Or mention how many times you did this or you did that. So this is something where shaitan sometimes is able to attack you, your belief or your actions. Sometimes shaitan, so we're going to speak about a trick today. And in this trick, shaitan attacks both your belief and your actions, both of them. So this is like a deadly trick of shaitan. And to understand this, we're going to actually understand it through a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's an authentic narration. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it's a very interesting hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mu'min al-qawi khayrun min mu'min al-da'if." The strong believer is khayr, is better, wa ahabb ila Allah, more beloved to Allah than the weak believer. The strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer. Now, what does that mean? Some people say this is about strong iman, being more spiritual. Of course, that's there. But it also means physical strength as well. It means both. So anybody going to the gym, okay, give yourself a pat on the back. You're doing the right thing as long as it's within the balance. So, al-mu'min qawi khayr wa hab ila Allah min al-mu'min al-da'if. The strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer. So, like I said, strong in iman, strong in your nafs, meaning you're able to control your nafs. You don't just follow what your nafs says. And again, we spoke about Umar radiallahu anhu seeing a guy going to the butcher, and he saw him going and buying meat. And Umar radiallahu anhu would observe the community. He would keep an eye out and see what things were going on. So he saw him go three times in 1 week. So one third time he stopped him. He says, "Oh, come here. Where are you going?" "I've just got some meat. I'm going home. I'm going to cook it." He goes, "I saw you going the other day as well." He goes, "Yeah, and the other day. Three times this week you've been." He goes, "How come?" He goes, "I felt like eating meat." So Umar radiallahu anhu said to him, "Do you always do what you feel like doing? Do you always do what you feel like doing?" We spoke about this in the first session. Indulging in the permissible. Yes, it's allowed. You're allowed to eat meat as many times as you want. It's not haram. But if you're always doing what you want to do, then you're not going to have self-control to stay away from haram as well. So in order to be able to create that resistance within us, resilience within us, self-control, self-restraint, sometimes we have to stop before, you know, it's too late. Otherwise, we're just going to keep on indulging. So, the strong believer is better than the weak believer. So this means strong in terms of your iman, strong in terms of your nafs. This is where we spoke on this self-control, that you're able to control yourself. And it also means physical strength too. Physical strength as well. And this is why Muslims should strive to be strong in all areas. Let's look at another hadith. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba wore the ihram because they were in Medina and they saw this dream of they're all going for Umrah, and they got excited, they donned the ihram, 1400 of them come with the Sahaba, they got intercepted at Hudaybiyah. We were literally at Hudaybiyah just 2 days ago, right? It was a blessing because we didn't plan to go there. We were going towards the airport and the driver stopped and said, "Look, we're at Hudaybiyah." So I shared with everybody the story of Hudaybiyah, which is a beautiful story. We don't have time to go into it. But in regards to Hudaybiyah, they got stopped. They said, come back next year. And when the Sahaba came, there was a rumor amongst the people of Mecca that the Muslims have gone to Medina, and because they're not climatized with the atmosphere and the weather of Medina Munawwara, they've become so sick, they are so weak, we're going to be able to eat them alive. Next time we have a fight and a battle, we're going to destroy them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got wind of this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba, when you go to Mecca and you do your tawaf for Umrah, expose your right arm. Because that's the right arm, that's the arm you see, right? When you're making tawaf, left one is towards the Kaaba. The right is the one you see. And the mushrikeen are going to be on the mountain, Jabal Abi Qubays and the other mountains. They're going to be watching all your moves, what you're doing from their houses. So what you do, when you go for tawaf, expose your right arm. Again, this is showing strength. It's not necessarily using the strength. Sometimes you need to just show a bit of strength as well. And this dispelled that myth and the rumor that was going around that Muslims have become weak. When they saw, it created awe within them. And this is something we still do now. Even now, if you go for Umrah, you are told in the tawaf of Umrah or the tawaf of Hajj, you are to expose your right arm. That was taken from that period. So a strong believer is better than a weak believer. More beloved to Allah than a weak believer. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَفِي كُلِّنْ خَيِّرٍ. In every type of believer there is goodness. Have hope in the Muslims. Muslims have a lot of potential. Don't keep putting the Muslims down. This is an illness that we have. We keep cussing the Muslims. We keep saying bad about the Muslims. We keep like destroying our own spirit. That's not going to bring any goodness. Yes, there's good and bad everywhere. Yes, there are things that people do. But that doesn't mean there is a lot of hope in the Ummah. There is a lot of potential in the Ummah. There's a lot of potential in people. Do you know what? Sometimes we are the ones who kill the spirit of people off by saying these things to people. It's like a parent who keeps calling his child, you're too lazy, you're too lazy, you're too lazy. You're never going to do anything. You're never going to achieve anything. And then the person internalizes that and thinks, you know what? That might be true, you know. Maybe I won't do anything. Fine, I won't do it then. And that happens. مَنْ قَالَ هَلَكَ النَّاسَ فَهُوَ أَهْلَكَهُمْ. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever says that everyone's messed up, you're the messed up of them all. You've messed them up. You've messed them up, the hadith is saying. You've done it by saying that about them. Don't say that. Have hope in the Ummah. And there is a lot of hope in the Ummah. A lot of potential in the Ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَفِي كُلِّنْ خَيِّرٍ. In every type of believer, strong or weak, there is khair. There is goodness. Seek the good. Seek the good. It's there. You have to find it. النَّاسُ كَمَعَادٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, people are like mines. Mines of gold and silver. If you go in a mine, you're not going to see anything in the beginning. You have to go deep down, you have to dig. When you start digging, you're going to find the good. Don't just look at the surface and see. No, dig deep and you will find. That's people for you. So, another hadith to give us an explanation. In the battle of the trench, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were being attacked from all sides. This was the most difficult moment upon the Sahaba. وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرُ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الذُّنُونَ هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. Quran describes it with words that you won't find this kind of description regarding any other battle. When the Sahaba were being attacked from all sides and the Sahaba were digging the trench, the women and the children, they were all protected in a castle, in a fort, indoors. One of the people from the enemy managed to reach the castle and the fort. And he's breaking down the door to enter inside. Had he gone inside, he would have killed the women and the children. And they were supposed to be protected. And who was with them, protecting them and just looking after them? Hassan ibn Thabit. Who's Hassan ibn Thabit? Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu was the poet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam established actually a mimbar. Can you imagine today having a mimbar in the masjid for spoken word? Can you imagine that? Having, like, not this is for the imam. Another one just for, because you know Muslims, another way they exposed their strength was through lyrics. In those days, that's what they did. They exposed their strength. You know how he said, oh, expose your arm? Another way of exposing the strength. You're not fighting, they would also fight with their lyrics. And these words were very, very powerful. So Hassan ibn Thabit, he would have these lyrics. And this was to fight the enemy. Anyhow. So Safiya radiallahu anha, the aunt of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she screams out to Hassan because he's in that fortress as well. You might be thinking, why is he in there? He should be on the battlefield, right? Protecting and fighting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So she says to him, go on, like this person who's coming, go and kill him. By the way, this is a time of battle, not a normal time. So go and sort him out, finish him off before he comes in. Hassan ibn Thabit says, if I was going to fight him, I'd be in the front line. If I was going to fight him, I'd be in the front line, not with you, with the women and the children inside. Ulama say Hassan ibn Thabit experienced something quite traumatic when he was young, and because of which he wouldn't go and fight. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam excused him. But remember, he did what he was good at. He might not be able to swing a sword, but he could swing his pen. And that's how he would use words of poetry. Find your strength. Don't compare yourself to anyone else, but find your strength. This is what he's saying. That doesn't mean just because he couldn't go and fight and lift a sword, he didn't think, right, I'm not going to do anything. No, he found his strength. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send Jibreel to assist him. Allahumma ayyidhu bi ruhil qudus. When Hassan ibn Thabit would climb on the minbar to say these words of poetry against the disbelievers, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a special dua. Allahumma ayyidhu bi ruhil qudus. O Allah, assist him with Jibreel alayhi salam. So, what we are saying here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa fi kullin khair, in every believer there is goodness. That's the first part of the hadith. Is everyone following the hadith? What's the hadith again? Because today's discussion is on this hadith only. The hadith starts off by saying, the strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer. And in every type of believer, meaning strong and weak, there is goodness. This is where we've stopped, right? Next part of the same hadith. Ihris ala ma yanfa'uk. Ihris ala ma yanfa'uk. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, have a burning desire for what benefits you. Have a burning desire for what benefits you. Like, go out into the world and seek it. Don't just sit back and become ajiz, incapable. This is coming up now. You want to do something in life? You want to achieve something? Have a burning desire for it. Have a burning desire for what benefits you. It could be worldly benefit or benefit of the akhirah. It could be worldly benefit. That's perfectly fine. Hadith, ihris ala ma yanfa'uk. Have a burning desire for what benefits you. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, wasta'in billah. And ask Allah's help. So number one, have a burning desire. Have a burning desire. Work really hard. Number two is ask the help of Allah. Seek the help of Allah. And then, wala ta'jaz. Which means, do not be incapable. Do not be incapable. This is what we're going to be focusing on today. Do not be incapable. Many youth today, you tell them, the parents tell them, can you go and do this? I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. I'm not sure. I don't know. I can't do it. You can do it, but I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. This is being ajiz. You're just putting your hands up. You've not even tried. You've not even tried. Nowadays, you can Google anything. Go on YouTube and find. A lot of us, we have this, I can't do it. Don't know what to do. Don't know how to do it. This is being ajiz. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us against this. He said, do not be ajiz. Ayn, jim, za. Ajiz. Ajiz. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sought the protection of Allah from al-ajiz and al-kasal. We're going to speak about both of them. Because these are two tricks of shaitan. He wants to see you ajiz and he wants to see you kaslan. He wants to see you incapable and he wants to see you lazy. So, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ihris ala ma yanfa'uk. Have a burning desire for what benefits you. Basically, be a go-getter. Get up and go in the world. Seek what you want. Go and do it. And number two, wasta'in billah. Seek the help of Allah. Number two, wala ta'jaz. Don't be incapable. Don't say, I don't know, I can't do it, I don't know how to do it. No, don't be incapable. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa in asabaka shay'un. Once you remember these three things we said, number one, ihris ala ma yanfa'uk. Have a burning desire and be a go-getter. Strive so hard that you exert your efforts and you explore every avenue. You've put your best effort forward, number one. Number two, wasta'in billah. Then ask Allah's help. Number three, don't be incapable. Don't say, I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going to happen next. No. Once you've done those three things, the hadith says, وَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٌ. After doing these three things and it still doesn't work out, you don't achieve what you set out to achieve, you've not been able to reach your target, the hadith says, وَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٌ فَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ كَذَا وَكَذَا كَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ كَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if after putting your best effort forward and it still doesn't work out, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not say, had I done so and so, then so and so would have happened. If I had done this, or if I had done it differently, or if I had done it that way, or if I had done it this way, then this wouldn't have happened, or this would have happened. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us against saying if. Ifs and buts and shoulds. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, instead you should say, walakin qulu qaddara Allahu ma shaa. Allah decided what He decided. That's it. This is an approach of a Muslim. A Muslim is a go-getter. A Muslim is optimistic. A Muslim is not incapable. Muslims are not those who sit back and think, I don't know what to do, I can't do it. No, you try. You put your best effort forward. You ask Allah's help. Despite all of that, if it doesn't work out, then the hadith is saying, deal with the situation. That's what the hadith is saying. Deal with it. Don't say, oh, you know what? Because what happens now, you start daydreaming. You're living now an alternate reality. It's like you're in Marvel, in the multiverse, isn't it? And you go backwards, and you think, had things been different, this is pure shaitanic. Sorry if I offend anyone. This is, trust me, this is pure shaitanic. Pure shaitanic. Shaitan wants you to live an alternate reality, a reality that's not yours. Do you know what first shaitan does? And we've already spoke. First, what shaitan does is he makes you look at other people. So you forget what you have. You're in your car, you're chuffed about your car, you love it. You're so proud about it. You're driving your car, you're coming to the masjid, you park up, and you think like, wow, I've got the best car. And you come out of your car, and the guy next to you, he's got like something that's way better than yours. What happens now? You start to be ungrateful for what you've got, and you want to start thinking, shaitan starts showing you his life, right? That's bad as it is. But worse than that is when shaitan shows you a life that you don't even have. Your own life through an unrealistic lens that you've not lived. Had I gone to that college, had I married that person, had I taken that job offer, had my parents done this differently? Can you see how dangerous this is? Shaitan, then what that does, it makes you incapable. You lose the ability to make decisions. And shaitan can't kill you, right? Shaitan can't kill you, but he can kill you. He can't kill you, but he can kill you. And that's awesome for shaitan. He's done it. He's made you so incapable that you lose trust on yourself. You're always wondering, you know what, had I done this? Had my parents done this? Had I taken this? Had I married this other woman? Had I not had these kids? Had I gone to that school? Had I taken... This is what happens. Quran, hadith is saying, when you've tried, you've asked Allah's help, and you do put your best effort forward, and it still didn't work out, the hadith is telling you, deal with it. Fix up now. Deal with what's in front of you. Don't go into an alternate reality, something that's not even realistic, something that doesn't exist. Why? فَإِنَّ اللَّوْ تَفْتَحُ بَابَ الشَّيْطَانِ. The hadith says, saying low, meaning if only I did this, that opens the doors of shaitan. If only I did this, in Arabic, the word is low. And in English, we say if only. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, don't say if only. This is what Allah decreed, qadr. And we believe in qadr, and it's something very powerful. It keeps us going. Now Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi advises us. He says, whenever you try, you put your best effort forward, you've tried, you've exerted yourself, you planned it really well, and things don't work out. If you say in that situation, and we're all guilty of this, by the way, this applies to all of, we all do it. If you end up saying, if only I had done this, then this wouldn't have happened, right? He says, what you're doing is you're running away from reality. It's scary. You're running away from reality. What's the reality? The reality is, like, you put your best effort forward and it didn't work, right? So what are you supposed to do now? Deal with it. It's not worked. Try again or do something different. Or basically suck up to it. That's what it's saying to you. But if we start daydreaming and thinking, because it's all happening in there, right? Oh, had I done this, this would have happened. Had I done that, this would, had I done this, had I done that. Now you're running away from reality. This trick of shaitan attacks your belief and your actions at the same time. It attacks both your belief and your action. So what's the situation now? What do we do? We are being told, face it head on. Face a situation head on. You're driving and you get a flat tire. You could sit there and wallow over it. Oh no. Why did I come to the session today? I should have just stayed at home. Why did I say yes? I shouldn't have gone to get the milk. I should have just stayed at home. Or if I'd gone on that different road, it would have happened. Stupid Tom Tom. Why did I listen to it? No. The hadith is telling you it's happened. What do you do? What should you do now in this situation? Get out and fix the tire. Simple. But this is what shaitan exploits you at these natural positions of yours. He exploits this. You get out and you fix the tire and you get on with life. That's what. But if we stop there and we start thinking, if only this, if this opens the door of shaitan, and shaitan then exploits you. What we're being told is don't daydream about what can't and never happened. Because those things didn't actually happen. Like, if you went on a different route, you said, okay, let's try and understand this. Okay, I think to myself, okay, had I gone on that route, this wouldn't have happened. Well, did you go on that route? No, you didn't. Well, why are you thinking about that? That doesn't benefit you. But the thing is, at that time, it makes total sense to you, doesn't it? When you're thinking about it at that time, it makes so much sense to you, because, and this is why, you can't sit there and reason with the shaitan or your thoughts. The best thing to do at that time is to get on with the next thing. Action. Remember, when you're in your thoughts, you're not doing anything. Take the next right action. What's the next right thing to do? One thing, not 100 things. One. What's the next one right thing to do? Get out and change the tire. So get on with it. Just fix it. Fix the tire. When you're fixing the tire, focus on fixing the tire. Don't think, oh, what happened and why did... It's done now. It's done. It's over. So, ajaz. The hadith is, don't become unable. I give you another hadith from Auf ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Two men came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a dispute. They had an argument. So they come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam listened to one side of the argument. He listened to the other side of the argument. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided in favor of one person that you win this debate, you win this argument. As they were walking off, the second person, say it was Anas, he was walking away, and he goes, "Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil." This is what he said. Now, as Muslims, when do we say "Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil"? When do you say that? You're facing a calamity, difficulty, when you're overpowered. Obviously, he was overpowered, right? So he walked off and he says, "Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hey, come back. What did you just say?" He said, he thought what he said was fine. So he said, "O Prophet of Allah, I said, 'Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil.' The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah doesn't like it when you're incapable. First you make an effort. Look, you've lost this, right? Suck up to it. Go and try harder again. Put all your efforts forward. Once you put all your efforts forward, you've tried everything and then it doesn't work. Then you say, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. You don't say Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil in the beginning. You've not even started. This was a decision made. You go, you accept it and you go and you start again. So Hasbunallahu, this is, can you see shaitan can sometimes exploit and attack you through things like Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. You're using it in the wrong place. No. You try. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil is when a person is totally overpowered. And you don't have, you can't. Here you can. You've got the ability. Go and strive, go and work hard. So this is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the message here is you need to be capable. You need to be proactive. When you're overpowered, you say Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. Otherwise what happens is, basically we're being told, Ibn al-Qayyim is saying, don't blame Allah when you didn't try your best. Don't blame Allah when you didn't try your best. I always give this example. When something good happens, Quran speaks about this. Quran speaks about it. When something good happens, you say, this is me, my experience, my knowledge, my power, my connections. It's me in it. Yeah, you know me in it. My contacts. Obviously, I've been doing this for years. I know. Something bad happens, what do you say? Allah ni marzi. Straight away. Oh, kya kare bhai? This is. Uska karna hai. What about when good things were happening? You didn't say uska karna hai. You said, mera karna hai. It's me. So can you see? Whereas the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his dua was sharru laysa ilayk. Again, from the sunnah du'as we will find, all evil is never attributed to you. Evil is attributed to me. Wal khayru fi yadayk. All types of goodness is attributed to you. Evil is never attributed to you. Whereas as Muslims we know that good and evil both come from Allah. But this is an etiquette. We've switched it round. So a few things we've learned is, don't say, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to. Be smart. As a Muslim, be proactive. Be a go-getter. Try. Put your best effort forward. Shaitan wants to see you weak. Shaitan wants to see you incapable. Shaitan wants to see you lazy. Shaitan wants to see you as a person that just gives up. Even before starting. Do you know when you start something, it's supposed to be hard because you've not done it before. A lot of people say, oh, it's too hard. Well, it's supposed to be because you've never done it before. Something that's new is supposed to be hard, right? You've not done it before. It's obvious. Nowadays, a lot of youth, young people, even our children, some, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I can't do it. Right? You tell them, when we were at your age, we were doing X, Y, and Z, right? It's not good to always compare, but we can see what's happening. And you think, like, what is going on? Why is it with so much ease, with so much technology, the world has moved on? In certain areas, they're so far ahead. Got little kids on little gadgets and they know how to use it better than we do. When it comes to real life stuff, no, they can't. A 15, 16-year-old cannot welcome a guest into the house and, you know, use some kind words and sit them down in the absence of the parents, or if the parents are busy. They can't do it. Sometimes 20-year-olds can't do it as well. They don't know what to say. You put them on a video game, they can sit there for hours on end, right? So, that's good, it's good. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But when it comes to real life things that are going to help you, life skills, shaitan exploits all of this. He just wants you to become just a loser. And we don't want to give shaitan the last and the final laugh. So, we're going to move on to another trick. It's linked to the low. So that's one trick. Another trick is using low. What if he gets you to compare yourself to the version of yourself that doesn't exist? Shaitan gets you to compare yourself to the version of yourself that doesn't exist. That daydream version of yourself that didn't take the other route, didn't marry the other woman, didn't go to the other school, didn't go to the other job. Right? You had an opportunity and later on, oh, had I taken that job, only if I said yes to that proposal, I wouldn't be in this. No, but did you do it? No, you didn't. Now, shaitan, can you see? Shaitan, what he does, using low, only if he gets you to compare yourself to a version of yourself that doesn't exist. Why? Because that non-existent version of yourself seems better than your current version, right? So, and this is what's going to happen now. How are you going to feel? Miserable, sad. Again, can you see? This is where he wants you to be. Sadness. Sadness now overtakes you. Like I said earlier, the first thing he does is shows you other people's blessings. And you become sad there as well. Oh, why have they got what I don't have that? And do you know what? Like, you can work on that. But this one is a really deadly one. Where he shows you a version of you, and how many of us have been through this before? Haven't we? Right? Sometimes we think, oh, if my parents hadn't made this choice, or they hadn't done this, or if I hadn't done this, or I hadn't done this, I would be doing this now, I'd be doing that. Shaitan showing you a version of yourself that doesn't exist. Automatically, it's going to bring immense sadness. You can let go of all of that sadness and all that grief now, right now, by telling yourself that that's all fake. It's all rubbish. This is my reality now. This is who I am. And I have to deal with it. I have to go forward. Deal with what I've got. Make the best of the situation, regardless of the decisions I made in the past or my parents made. Right? Don't judge yourself. Don't judge your old self based on the new information you have now. You didn't know the things you know now. So why do you keep judging your past self? Oh, had I done this? You didn't know about it then. A lot of us, we wallow and we eat ourselves up. And we go down this hole and we just keep spiraling down constantly because we're thinking, had I done this, had I done that? But you didn't know it then. You didn't have the knowledge. Your parents didn't have the knowledge. Why do you keep cursing your parents about it? A lot of us, in the environment we're living in now, in the society that we're living in now, everyone wants you to point your fingers there because it's easy to shift the blame onto somebody else. Okay, you develop some kind of eating disorder and you blame it on your parents. You've got a headache, you blame it on your parents. You don't do well in work, you blame it on your parents. Your marriage breaks down, you blame it on your... Everything's being blamed and shifted on your parents. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through tragedy after tragedy after tragedy after tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. You will not hear one time where he said, you know what, my dad didn't do this for me, my mom... He didn't even have a father. And his mom passed away when he was 6 years old. And never you will find it. In our Sharia, Islam is pristine. Your childhood is not deterministic of your future. Yes, it can have an impact here and there. But everything you did in your childhood is not going to determine how you're going to turn out as an adult. Let go of that rubbish. That's not who we are. That's not who we are. We are people of the Quran and the Sunnah. Our deen is pristine. This is what the hadith is telling you. That shaitan is going to exploit you through daydreaming about making these ideas that had they done this differently, you would have turned out. No. Deal with what you've got now. Deal with what you've got now. So this is another trick of shaitan. And the main thing is it removes happiness. It removed happiness, you're sad. Shaitan's won now. He wants to see you sad. Shaitan wants to see you sad. And he's achieved that. Trying to make you live an alternative reality. This is why somebody said very beautifully, low, you know the Arabic low means if only, low leads to the lowest low. Low leads to the lowest low. Now, after all this discussion, what's the remedy? We can't just speak about these problems and issues and not talk about the remedy. What's the remedy? The best remedy for almost all of these situations is have to have a close friend. There's nothing better than having a close friend. Why? When you've got a close friend, when I mean a close friend, again, is a Muslim friend, a believer, close friend, a well-wisher, the benefit of that is you can articulate these thoughts because these thoughts are circling in your head. You don't speak them out loud. If you've got a close friend, you can articulate these thoughts. You can mention them. In your brain, it always makes sense. Do you know as soon as you start saying it, you realize how dumb it sounds? Sometimes you need to talk to somebody so that you can hear yourself. Most of the time, we need to speak to someone so we can hear ourselves. And it starts making sense to us. And sometimes, if you're so convinced, because Shaitan has injected his poison so many times, that you're convinced that, yes, this is it. Do you know what? Had I not married this woman, I'd married that first proposal. Or if I'd taken that job offer. Or if I had gone down this route in my studies. Or if I'd gone this would have happened, right? You speak to your associate. You speak to your friend. You know, when you start telling them, and you're so confident, you go, this makes sense, right? And they go to you, no. That sounds really stupid. Really? I thought they're going to tell you. They're going to tell you as it is. You know what? That's shaitan. That sounds, it's way off. You're way off the mark. No, it's not like that. It's not like that at all. So the benefit of having a close friend is that you can, whenever you face this situation, don't let it just keep circulating in your head. Discuss it with them, articulate your thoughts, and then it'll be very, very beneficial because they will be able to put you right. Now, our default situation as Muslims, when we come to a situation where you've put forward your best effort and it didn't work out, the default situation is eventually we say that this is how Allah wanted it to happen. قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ. We believe in the Qadr. And there's a guy who worked for this company. He had a major contract. It's a multi-million pound contract. He was a partner with a non-Muslim. And they had to put these bids forward, and it had to be the lowest, the one that cost the least, most cost-effective bid. And it would have bought, it was a multi-million pound contract. And they lost it by £250 only. And the Muslim, he said, what did he say? He said, Alhamdulillah. The non-Muslim, he lost it. Gone. Finished. He lost his mind. He lost his mind. If we don't have the... Look, they tried. You try your best effort. You do everything you can. You do your planning. You make dua to Allah. You've done everything you can. And then you put it, leave it to Allah. If it works out, Alhamdulillah. If it doesn't work out, we say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ. If we start questioning, if I did this, this would have happened. If I did... This is when you start... Shaitan exploits you. And because the non-Muslim didn't believe in Allah, he doesn't believe in Qadr, we believe in Qadr. Before you do the action, you act as if you are the Almighty. That you go for it. You put all your effort forward. Once your effort is done, then you place your reliance on Allah. As if your effort is nothing. First you believe in your effort as if your effort is everything. Once you put your best effort forward, you leave it to Allah as if your effort is nothing. And this is how we as Muslims work. Now, I told you about we shouldn't judge our old self based on the new things that we know now. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he once asked the Sahaba, should we go out and fight or should we stay here locally? And the Sahaba said, no, we should go out. We should go out. Let's go out and fight. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes in his home. Sahaba start discussing, do you know what? Nah, what if we go out and something happens? Let's just stay here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he comes out of his house, a beautiful scene. Imagine this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes out of his house and he's wearing the body armor for battle. Subhanallah. He puts on his body armor, and he did this multiple times. He put on his body armor, and the Sahaba say, oh, Prophet of Allah, you know, we've thought over it again. Let's not go. Let's stay. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. You've made the decision now. We're going to go for it. Don't think if this happens, then this will happen. If this happens, no. You made the decision, we go for it. And this was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, in concluding to this discussion, why is this so dangerous? Why should we not say that if only this happens, if only I did this, if only I did that? Number one, because by shaitan whispering this to you, you will begin to lose trust in your own decision making. Many of us have lost trust in our decision making. Why? Is when we do make a decision, and when something doesn't turn out the way we wanted it to turn out, we keep wallowing on it. And the hadith is teaching you, man up, face it, and change the situation, get on with it. If it didn't work out, it's not worked out. You have to get up and carry on. You can't start thinking, you know what? And because we start daydreaming then. Shaitan exploits you. Shaitan wants to see you sad. So be optimistic, be a go-getter, get on with it. Move on to the next thing. Number one. Number two. The ulama say this is a form of self-torment. You start tormenting yourself. Oh, why did I do this? I shouldn't have done this. It's done already now. Get on with it. Number three, it makes you incapable. I don't know what to do. I can't do it. This is called ajaz. It makes you ajaz. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wala ta'jaz. Do not be an incapable person. You need to be capable. Number four. This then leads to laziness. leads to laziness. Sometimes we have the drive, but we don't have the time. Sometimes we have the time, but we don't have the drive. Shaitan wants to exploit you and make you lazy as well. This is why every night when we sleep, the hadith tells us, Shaitan, he ties three knots at the back of your neck. 1, 2, and 3. These three knots are tied, in authentic hadith, three knots are tied every night when we sleep at the back of our head. And every time he ties the knot, he says, I hope you have a long night's sleep. Some of you are thinking, that's good, right? We want a long... No. When he says, have a long night's sleep, عليك نوم طويل, ليلٌ طويل, he means, I hope you overlook the obligations of Allah, meaning you miss your fajr. He wants you to miss your fajr. And then the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you wake up and the first thing you do is the dhikr of Allah, we know this, we don't do it though. Most of us know this, but we don't do it. So listen with the intention of implementation. We know it. Don't think, oh, I already know this. No. Are you doing it? When your eyes open, the first thing you should be saying is, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Or say the full dua, Alhamdulillah, Alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhin nushur. Ask yourself, when I wake up, do I do the dhikr of Allah first thing? Because if you wake up and you say Alhamdulillah first, or any dhikr of Allah, one knot is released. Then the second thing you must do, before you check any apps on your phone, the second thing, number two, is make wudu. Wudu should be number two. Before checking any apps on your phone, number two, wudu. When you make wudu, the second knot is released. And then you pray your salah. And when you pray your salah, the third knot is released. What I want to tell you is the next thing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this person wakes up nashitan, meaning with energy, physical and spiritual energy. The rest of the day you will have energy by doing these three things. This is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why the Arabs used to say, if you don't want to get tired, get tired. Sometimes what happens is we act as if we're tired. Not really tired. This is laziness. What happens? We don't want to do anything. So what do? This mental tiredness, we just keep scrolling. You keep scrolling. Who does that? Who sits and does that? I know we all do it. But like, what kind of people do it? You've not tired. They say, if you don't want to get tired, then get tired. Meaning, keep yourself occupied and busy throughout the day. Get yourself tired, so that you don't get that type of tired. When it's time to sleep, then you sleep. Meaning you've kept yourself busy. You don't get into that state where you're just tired for the sake of it and you don't feel like doing anything productive. Instead, you're just sitting and you're scrolling aimlessly. Now, mental laziness is scary because, like I said earlier, shaitan can't kill you physically. But shaitan can give you a form of death, which is when you're inactive, when you're ajiz, incapable, when you're lazy. It's a lower form of death. He's kind of killed you off because he's killed off your action. And this is what he wants. And how do we overcome this? Laziness. This is why the ulama say, fil harakati baraka. You know when there's moving water? When the water is flowing, right? It's clean. When the water's still and it stays still for some time, it develops bacteria. It changes taste, it changes smell, it changes color. So similarly, the idea is to keep moving. So to conclude today, number one, al-mu'minu yamutu ala iraqil jabin. A believer dies with sweat on his brow. What does that mean? The hadith says when a Muslim dies, you're sweating on your forehead. It could mean a number of things. But one of the meanings we'll take that ties in with what we're speaking about, a Muslim works hard all his life. Now when you die with sweat on your forehead. A Muslim isn't one that just sits back and clicks a few buttons. No, you work hard. So number one, be a go-getter. Work hard, strive, number one. Number two, set small goals and celebrate your achievements. You got up in the morning, you made your bed, say Alhamdulillah. Right, that's a tick for you, isn't it? You're going in the right direction. Sometimes we're always after these big things which are out of our reach. Again, that just makes you miserable because it seems so far. Celebrate your small wins, the small things that you're able to do. Say Alhamdulillah. Number three, this one of two pains. either the pain of struggle or the pain of regret. And the pain of regret is always worse than the pain of struggle. Right now, you're going to have to work hard. That pain is less than the pain of regret. So there's two types of pains, the pain of struggle and the pain of regret. The pain of regret is always more than the pain of struggle. Number four, if ever you are feeling physically lazy, I'm not talking about mental laziness or spiritual laziness, I'm talking about physical laziness. Whenever you're feeling physically lazy, there's only one cure, get up and start moving. Whether it's walking, whether it's becoming active, doing something, if you are ever feared, because shaitan exploits this. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sought the protection of Allah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasal. Oh, I seek your protection from being incapable and also laziness as well. And number five, the morning prayer, Salatul Fajr and Dhikr. Very powerful. You just heard the hadith. Because on the contrary, imagine a person who wakes up but doesn't do dhikr, that knot remains tied. Who doesn't make wudu, that knot remains tied. Doesn't do their fajr, the knot remains tied. The hadith says, you wake up in the morning, khabithun nafs. Your nafs is khabith, it's evil. And the rest of the day you feel very lethargic. No matter how much whey you use, no matter how many protein shakes you have, you will still feel lethargic. Nothing's going to work for you. So, this is number five. And number six, realize your potential. Don't let shaitan tell you you're a waste man, you're a low life, you're a loser, you can't do anything. Shaitan sometimes tells us this. You can't do anything. Who are you? You can't achieve anything in life. Just because you've heard your parents saying it to you, or an uncle of yours saying it to you, or some mate saying it to you, don't believe them. This is all from shaitan. Next time you hear, realize your potential. Realize your potential. Allah has placed you on this earth to achieve great things, and you can achieve them. Shaitan wants you to feel incapable and ajiz. This was today's discussion. Don't allow him. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you this. You know, a poet said, maybe this might inspire somebody. Remember, you are somebody's ancestors. So act like it. Remember that you are somebody's ancestor. So act like it. You know when people talk about their ancestors? You know what? They were like this, they were like this. You're going to be somebody's ancestors. Start acting like it now. Start acting like it. Get up, be a go-getter in life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. One other reason we might be feeling lazy is we don't love Allah enough. We don't love Allah enough. We don't know who Allah is. We don't know how Allah works. So that's why we need to know why. Why are we grinding? Why are we working hard for Jannah? We need to know Jannah. We're grinding, why? For the pleasure of Allah. Who is Allah? Who is Allah? The most important lesson that you and I need to learn in life is, who is Allah? How does Allah work? And you learn that through the Quran, through the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to practice and implement what we have learned and protect us from the evils of shaitan. Inshallah, the next session we will do tomorrow after Salatul Taraweeh. Jazakumullahu khairan wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.